This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You know what they say, beer before liquor, never been sicker.
Yeah, liquor before beer, your pee'll be clear.
That's not the line, Josh. You have to drink water for your pee to be clear. It's never been sicker.
The main ingredient in beer is water.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scher.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And I was going to do the line from Forrest Gump. I want to see if you guys remember this. It's a very famous line, and I'll deliver it with accurate Tom Hanks impression. I gotta pay. Nicole didn't remember that line, and that really floored me. That was a seminal point.
A lot of lines from movies.
I've been on a real big boat. That's maybe my favorite one. Anyways, today,
it's
the end of January, depending on when the heck you're listening to this.
By
this time, you should have given up on dry January.
Yeah.
Probably gave up a couple weeks ago.
I've never been a dry January person. I don't know if you remember this. We had a podcast about...
Are you particularly wet? In my head, because like dry means sober... And so I was like, you don't drink that often, though. You're not a lush.
I'm not a lush, but when I drink, I enjoy it. That's what you're asking me.
That is such coding for like, yeah, I'm going to binge drink.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So remember when we had that New Year's resolution like podcast? Mm-hmm. And like, I just don't set resolutions because I think it's silly. Yeah. I put a word on it. Like this is the word of the year. And by like March, I forget it. So there's no...
Did you have a word of the year this year?
Not this year.
What about last year? What was it?
Last year, I think it was routine.
Oh.
Because I have none. I kind of just wake up and I'm like, today's going to be a new day. What am I going to do? Who knows? Literally, my whole life was like Russian
roulette.
Like
a vaudeville actor whacked out on one of them cough syrups that had,
amphetamines,
codeine, and heroin in it.
All I knew was I would get up at 9 for work and go home at 6. But other than that, in between,
you get up at 9 to get here?
I'm sorry. I get up at 7:30 and then, like, who knows what the day has in store for me. But when it comes to, like, dry January, never done it because I think it's silly.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I have tried it in the past, and I only drank maybe twice, which is not bad.
I've tried to go through, like, stints where I haven't drank. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, 1 month, I think it was in October, this October, like, I didn't drink from the 1st until the 31st, but I drank, like... twice because like I was like
I know that's how
was,
it goes
like at a baby shower and like I was at a wedding like you know
yeah
mitzvahs gotta drink for mitzvahs
gotta drink for mitzvahs it's a bracha and
it's
so
a bracha. It's a bracha. Are you 15?
Yeah.
It's a bracha.
Anyways, so if your dry January has come to an end, we are here to help you make the most efficacious drinking decisions possible. We're talking about beer versus wine versus liquor. Also, if you are of age and use responsibly, because when it comes down to it, alcohol is a really important part of human history and development.
Yeah. Didn't, like, doctors put, like, whiskey on, like, open wounds and, like, wars and stuff?
Yeah, and that is actually... that is a valid way.
Point for hard alcohol.
Well, so I guess it's not that much of a point because alcohol is so poisonous that bacteria will die in it. So that's why you use it to clean a wound.
I can't believe it.
And so if you can use it to clean a wound and then you drink it for funsies to turn your brain off a little bit, I think that might be more of an indictment on alcohol. But no, alcohol is the original recipe for beer, for instance, was an ode to the goddess Ninkasi in Mesopotamia.
So it was made on purpose. It was never like an accident, like, oh, like I left this, like, some natural yeast got into this barley liquid.
I'm sure that's I feel like everything was a little bit accidental thousands of years ago. Sure. Like cheese,
intention,
you know.
Intention was a little, such thing as intention. It was survival.
Yeah, I don't think somebody looked at a cow and was just like, all right, so I'm going to pull on those little hangy thingies. A white liquid's going to come out. I'm going to slaughter that cow. I'm going to remove its stomach. I'm going to put the hangy thingy juice into the stomach, and then I'm going to let that sit, and then that's going to top my Caesar salad. I don't think they did that.
Have you ever milked a cow?
I've never, no. Have you?
Can we go milk a cow?
I don't know that I need to. Why do you need to?
What do you mean? It's something.
I don't look at a cow being milked and go, that's in my bag. That's what I should be doing.
Not on your bucket list?
No, I want to kill a chicken.
Okay, how about let's go to a farm.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, you know what we should just do? Wait, side note, tangent. We should go and like live on a farm for like a week. Mm-hmm. Like, Mythical Kitchen should go to a farm.
Yeah, real simple life stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Paris, you're Nicole.
Well, obviously.
That's hot.
So that's not, okay. No, but I really do want to do that.
I'm totally in.
Me, you, Lily, V, Trevor, Maggie comes with a camera. And we just, you kill a chicken, I milk a cow, they tend to the field, and we just hang out together.
Like,
and we rotate
just put
it.
Them all in the
no,
field.
We rotate.
They're sowing the sorghum crops.
Like, we're going to learn how to needlepoint?
I don't know that I want that. I'm
Josh!
Very content with my life right now, and I'm very content with my relationship to drinking. Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
Beer, liquor, wine, what is your poison and why?
It's hard liquor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wait, why though? I have a very specific
reason.
Okay,
for me, it's a matter of volume.
Uh-huh.
I feel like when I have a glass of wine versus a pint of beer versus a cocktail, the volume of alcohol to the amount it poisons me is higher.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Because like you said, it's poison. So I don't know, something about just drinking a cocktail makes more sense, or just having a shot and like a... After,
you, as a chef and as, frankly, a leading food personality in the media space,
me?
Are deciding that liquor is best because of its volume to poison ratio. Nothing to do with, like, the taste or
Josh,
the history.
Let me tell you something. In life, you have to chase. Sometimes in life, you got to linger on some things, you know? Sometimes in life, you want to savor certain things. And, you know, take the slow route, you know? Just have a glass of wine. Drink a beer sitting down with your buddies. No. I want a cocktail, and I want it now.
There is nothing better. True. So, when you're drinking, certain things become more fun. I feel I need to explain this.
Are we
one
gonna
of those
get,
things.
Are we going to get like a...
Yeah, probably.
Demonetized.
Eating food is one of those. Like, there is nothing better than sitting down at a big communal meal and starting it with a single stiff drink to whet the appetite, right? That's literally the point
whet,
of an...
W-H-E-T, W-H-E-T, not W-E-T. W-H-E-T. People assume it's W-E-T.
No, I've already said the word wet too much this podcast. No, to whet the appetite, right? And that's the point, literally the point of an aperitivo, right?
Yeah, isn't aperitivo like to open the mouth?
Yes.
Or open the stomach?
I don't know. I don't think there's a literal translation, but...
Well, aper, like, après, is after.
Is before. So,
digest... Okay.
Digestif is to digest it.
Aperitivo is a
open.
To open. Yeah, see, I was close. Open the stomach.
Interesting.
And then digestivo is to digest your food.
But it sure does open the stomach. So my favorite drink is when you get to a restaurant, especially on like a weeknight, right? Or even a dinner party. But it's like a weeknight and you have to travel kind of across the city. You drove 20, 30 minutes.
You like doing that?
No. I hate that.
Oh,
I hate that.
Okay.
You got to travel 20, 30 minutes. You just got off of work. You tried to gussy yourself up in the work bathroom a little bit.
You try.
You struggled searching for parking a little bit.
God.
And then you get that first sip of a Negroni. Negroni, equal parts gin, Campari, and vermouth with
Negronis.
An orange twist on it. That first sip, it's so bitter. It is bracing. It is saline. It almost, Campari almost reminds me of pickle juice in a weird way. It's the aromatics in
it. Okay. Like Kool-Aid pickles.
Yeah. But it is basically pure liquor, right? It's liquor with a little bit of fortified wine.
It's all alcohol. Strong.
Right? And you get one of those in you, and suddenly the world's a little bit lighter, and you're way hungrier, and you want to make more conversation with people. Also, the bitter taste of aperitivos are generally bitter, right? The bitter taste of that makes you want to get it out of your mouth more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Did you know that there was actually a study done that says people that like bitter flavors like Negronis and IPAs have a dark side tendency?
Yeah, tend
Did
towards
you see
sociopathy.
This?
Or,
Did you
or,
see this?
Sociopathy or psychopathy, I can't remember.
What are we going to do about that? We both love Negronis.
I think we both tend a little bit towards psychopathy. You and I literally just had
agree?
A discussion about how we're both reckless when it comes to decision making with no regard for self, right?
Yeah.
But I literally think that is part of it because to enjoy bitter flavors is literally you deliberately telling your body
poison, 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 I want poison, I like pain.
That's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, radicchio, bitter melon, there's other foods out there that got that. But to me, alcohol is specifically interesting because no wine will ever taste as good as Welch's grape juice in terms of what your body wants.
But what
at the end of the day, we're hummingbirds. We want sugar.
Sugar
is the thing that gives us energy.
Yes, we love sugar.
Anything else that we, wine, beer, alcohol, it's all poison. We've all convinced ourselves through thousands of years of human evolution and culture that we should drink it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've, not to like be a fancy lady, but like I've pretty much, I've gone to like really cool beer places and really cool wine places and really cool like alcohol places. When I say that, I mean like I went to Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
I sat down and I had like tons of different kinds of German beer.
Oh, do you remember what the best beer you drank at Oktoberfest was?
I have a picture of it in my phone. I don't remember exactly what it is, but we clinked our glasses so hard that I broke a cup.
But like
that's
those,
all I remember.
Those are incredible memories, right?
Yeah. And it was really fun, and the culture of Oktoberfest, and just sitting down in like a huge hall with strangers next to both of your shoulders, and just cheersing and having a good time and drinking beer is incredible. It's a very, very fun thing. But when it comes to the flavor of beer, I've never been a beer drinker. Like IPAs make me want to vomit and die. I hate IPAs. I'll drink a Peroni if I'm like at dinner. Maybe I'll have a something really light so it doesn't like. 1-2 punch me in the face.
Yeah.
And then for wine, I just went to Paso Robles and I had the most incredible experience at like a few wineries. Like I really tried some delicious things, some like really beautiful vintages. And again, it's the culture that I really enjoyed. It was a little bit more private, like wine drinking culture is a little bit more like A to B, like me and like the wine taster more so. So it was a little bit more private and a little bit more hoity-toity, I'd say, instead of like communal like beer drinking. Again, I think the sommelier culture and like wine dude culture, it kind of mars my experience because you have to be hella educated or else you look like a dum-dum.
Yeah.
Which I hate about wine culture.
Yeah, same. And but like, that's what makes people within wine culture love
it. Gives
it
you
so
something.
Much, right?
It gives you something to like.
It's that exclusivity that makes you.
Yeah. So you have like beer, which is rough and rowdy and fun, like the apex of like a good time. Wine culture is very private and intimate, and you need to know that there's notes of cherry and notes of oak or whatever. And then with cocktails.
This one tastes like my leather shoes.
Okay, got it.
It's got, this one tastes like it has fruit. This is the fruit wine.
That's the same.
Sorry, that's me at
Forrest Gump at a wine tasting in Sonoma Valley.
I don't like the taste of this very much, Jenna. I like drinking wine and I enjoy wines more than others. I don't like having to think about it and I don't like being put on the spot because my entire job is to have to sit here and think about words to spew out of my mouth hole. And so when I go out drinking with my brother and he's like, what do you taste? And then looks towards the psalm, looks back to me, and I'm like, now I have to do my job. I came here to drink.
I totally get
so
that.
So I'll troll it.
I'm that person too.
I troll it.
Oh,
I troll it, and I love it.
I don't know.
But sometimes I'll start saying almost like a Dadaist sound poem, you know, where they would just make up sounds and go and scream.
Dadaism, very, very good. Very good.
Yeah. But last time I was just like, I'm in. There's a stony brook running through a dark ravine. There's moss. It's damp. Sunlight is breaking through the canopy of the trees. You can smell the effervescence coming off as if the brook wants to will itself out of its own carapace. You know, and I just start saying stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember this one time, the psalm just goes, man, so my girlfriend's a poet and she doesn't know a lot about wine, but once I made her taste this Barolo and she looked at me and she just said, Polish lipstick. And I got it. And I was just like, hell yeah, brother.
What?
But I mean, those are
so crazy, so pretentious. I can't.
Yeah.
Like the wine culture, I just can't. But, like, cocktail culture, I really like. Something about, like, a bartender's going, like, hey, Toots, what do you want? Like, pulling up their sleeves. And they have kind of, like, a, not a tie, but what is that? A vest. Like, they're wearing a vest.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they have, like, a towel they throw it over their shoulder. And then, like, what's up, Toots, what do you want? They go, shake, 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 pour. And they hand it to you, and they wink, and they give it to you. Like, I love that. I like that experience of, like, cocktail drinking culture.
There's a certain amount of cultural coding and a non-gendered fraternity and brotherhood within every single, within beer, within wine, within cocktails.
Yeah.
I happen to be the most knowledgeable about cocktails. And so I...
Fancy boy.
No, but I've always... And there's a very specific reason why I love liquor and cocktails more than anything else.
Yeah.
Specifically cocktails, because it's cooking, right?
Mixology.
There's a recipe.
Yeah, there's a recipe.
There's a recipe, and you can understand how to, if you understand how to combine flavors, if you understand recipes, for instance, right, a Negroni, you know, is a 1-1-1 of gin, Campari, vermouth. You know,
that's
Campari
right.
is an aperitivo. You think, what if I used a different aperitivo for this? Like, I used...
Did I say Chinar?
Chinar.
Chinar, sorry.
What if you used Chinar for a Negroni? What if you used Bonal quinine liqueur? And of course, you need to know what all these things are.
Mm-hmm.
I just troll the lines in BevMo and I look at stuff enjoy it. The other day, or you use chartreuse and then you Google it and you find out that somebody already did that. And a Negroni using chartreuse instead of Campari is called a Bijou.
That's
and then
right.
you're like, wow,
so
all these cool things. And I had a great experience at, it was at a wine bar in New Orleans called Bacchanal, which was an incredible experience. I drank this really dark amber-colored skin contact. It's called, like, Rikitskali. It's a Georgian grape.
Well, didn't wine originate in Georgia?
Wine did originate in Georgia, the Republic of.
Not Atlanta.
Maybe modern poetry.
Oh,
but yeah,
really? I thought Persians invented poetry.
Ah, maybe.
We invent everything.
They both love to wrestle and lift weights, though. Persians
yeah,
and
true.
Georgians, kissing cousins.
That's true.
But anyways, they had a cocktail bar upstairs. And you go to the cocktail bar, really cool-looking menu. They had something called a snowbird. And I was like... Huh, it seems just like an original, and it was mezcal, some sort of dark liqueur, like Amaro Nonino or something.
Amaro Nonino?
You once gave me a bottle of Nonino as a gift.
Is my favorite, like, bottled, what is it? It's an Amaro.
It's an Amaro,
I don't
and Amaro
means,
bitter in Italian.
Amaro Nonino?
It's sweet, cinnamony, got that oranginess to it.
With ice in a glass, that's all a girl wants after a hard day's work.
It's great. So it was mezcal, Nonino, and pineapple and bitters.
Wow, yum. Wow,
and I was like, wow. Yummy. And then the guy made it for me and I drank it and I was like, oh, snowbird. This is a play on a jungle bird, right? And the guy was just like, yeah, not many people. Jungle bird, one of my favorite cocktails. It's a modern tiki
never
classic.
Never have I ever had it.
You've never had a jungle bird?
No.
Come over. I want to make you one.
Okay.
So tiki drink culture, right?
It came back,
typically,
no?
It's coming back,
yeah, yeah.
But it's typically very sweet, filled with fruit juices, filled with bright colors, blue curacao, all that stuff. Somebody tried to make like a very spirit-forward, balanced tiki drink. And so it's like lemon, simple, pineapple, rum, and Campari.
Simple means simple syrup for those that don't
Sorry.
Know.
Sorry.
It's okay, chef.
I'm a-hole. So it's basically pineapple, lemon, sugar, and Campari, which
Sounds
the
really good.
Bitterness rounds it out, but you still get some of that sweet, bacterial, light acidity from the pineapple juice. The pineapple also gives it great body when you shake it.
Sure.
Really
Pulpy.
Awesome. So, you know, like you eat a dish and you're like, oh, this is a play on carbonara. Same thing as you can see a cocktail.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, you made literally a winter spiced version of a jungle bird. And then me and this bartender start talking and I'd been drinking a little bit and I go, hey, you listen to Tech N9ne?
Why did you assume that?
Oh, no, I didn't assume. I asked. And he goes, yeah, you know, I messed him a little bit.
I went to a Tech N9ne concert once.
And I was like, you ever make a fancy version of Caribou Lou? You know Caribou Lou, right?
The song?
Megan, can you get the lyrics for Caribou Lou?
The song. I know the song. Yes, I know the song. I went to a Tech N9ne concert.
151 rum, pineapple juice, Malibu, Caribou, make them all numb, make baby girl come out of her shell, raise hell, keep it party till the cops come.
How can you put...
Yeah. So, you know...
Okay.
There's a recipe for a cocktail called Caribou Lou within a Tech N9ne song. And then me and this guy start talking about, like, the horrorcore rap genre. But that, to me, is, like... why I love cocktails, because you can draw one thread. And I know people have that with wine and beer as well.
I was going to say, like, whenever you say It's live cooking in action. That's what cocktails are.
There's an action to it. There's an action to it.
But with something like wine, like there's vintners, there's like the soil levels, there's water content, there's different grapes.
This oh, is there's
yeah.
God, you could go on and on.
Yeah. So it's almost like if you respect like gardening and cultivars and stuff like that, then you're a wine person. But if you're like us and you like the art of like I don't know, again, impulsive, like fast, quick, like in front of my face, like I don't care if something's been like hanging out. I don't care about 1978 vintages. Like that doesn't interest me. I don't care about a beer from like Thailand that like 30 people have tried and like I get to try for the first time. That stuff doesn't interest me. But the actual live recipe building of a cocktail is very interesting. And I love when they taste it. When they taste it and they don't just hand it to me.
Oh, that's such a special moment.
I love that so much.
Oh, the best feeling in the world. I think I
asked. And they go like this. They shake their heads.
I asked somebody to make a drink. It was probably a penicillin, my favorite cocktail of all time, which is single malt scotch lemon.
Ginger syrup?
Single malt scotch lemon juice, honey ginger syrup, shaken, strained over a rock, and then you float Isla scotch on top so it smells like a campfire, garnished with candied ginger.
It's good.
Favorite cocktail of all time. I asked somebody to make it, and they were like, you know, it was like a hotel bar, but you could tell the bartender really cared about his craft.
Sure.
And he was like, I don't have everything, but like, I'm gonna make you something that's really close. And he, you know, did a first attempt.
Was this at the Streamies?
No, it wasn't. Oh, this is in like Austin, Texas.
Okay, sorry.
did I try to order a penicillin at the Streamies?
I think so. Had to go. Like,
that makes
we were
sense.
Late. We were really late. We're like, I want to finish my cocktail. I'm like, Josh.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, like, that was at a bar that nobody else was at.
Yeah.
We were looking for a publicist. I remember that. Look at us being Hollywood.
Honey, look at us.
Ba-da-ba-da-dum.
If I can make it here.
I watched the bartender stick the straw in, suck it out, and then shake his head, pour the drink out, start again. And I was like, my man, I would have drank in the discard, but.
I love that too. Or whenever they shake their head and they're like, and then they hand it to you.
I
love that too. Gosh.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, did you go through phases where you were like into beer a little bit, you're into wine a little bit, and then you sort of settled into your pure shot of poison era?
Yeah, I think there was a period of time where like me and David were just starting to date, and like he's like, I want to learn about wine. I'm like, cool, I can't help you.
Yeah.
So we bought like four to six different bottles of wine. And we bought like all the gear, like all the stoppers and all the aerators and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we tasted them. And then we were like going back and forth. And we were just talking about like, what do you taste? And he's like, I taste this. I'm like, okay, I taste this. And then we would go and Google the bottle and like and look at it and be like, oh man, did you taste dark chocolate? And he's like, maybe I did. Okay, let's move to the next one. And we did that for about 2 days. And then it was like, no
I feel
dice.
Like you're either somebody who it takes or it doesn't. And for me, like in school, if there's a subject I was interested in, it was just natural. I wanted to read everything about it. It would soak in.
Me too.
85% of subjects I wasn't interested in.
Sure.
And
same.
Now we wasted 5 years just to drop out at UCLA.
And now we're here.
But wine, for me, it's always been a thing that just doesn't take. And it might be because I see it as like the most bourgeois delight of all.
Yeah.
You know, to me, wine is the most exclusive culture of
club.
All these.
It's like a cool kids club.
Yeah. And even when I say I'm into liquor and cocktails, I'm not into like high-end whiskeys. Like, I don't care about that. It's fun to try. I've had some...
Whiskey dudes, sometimes there's some that are like approachable, and then some whiskey dudes, they are a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
Like when you bring a bottle of whiskey to a pregame, they're like, oh, you brought this? Bro, I won't even brush my teeth with the
like a $200 bottle of Blue Label that does nothing for me. I'm very grateful. Mike Crisimania, he gave to me one.
I love that.
Actually,
I think David drank that on our wedding day.
Yeah, but it's a very popular kind of like old school big brand prestige alcohol.
That Johnny Walker, right?
It tastes perfectly good, but it doesn't do anything for me. I love like these modern wine hipsters who are drinking all the skin contact Ricketts Scali.
It's funky, isn't it?
Pet like Nats kombucha. That just taste like kombucha, which again, I really enjoy.
Do you taste the funky notes? They're in there. And it's like, no.
I had a, I went to a wine bar and I saw a new, was it Romato? Which means Italian for copper. New color of wine dropped. Copper wines. They're out
here. It's not orange wine anymore?
No, it's what a combination of orange wine and rosé to make. I think it's Romato, which is Italian for copper. Maggie, can you Google Italian for copper?
Romato tomato.
That's what I always say. but no, I love to find the weird, funky...
You're right. Rame.
Rame. Yeah, so it must be... I don't know.
Orange and copper are like the same thing.
No, they're not, because this is a skin contact wine that was made in the same style.
Is it rosé?
I don't know.
Is
I don't know.
Is rosé also skin contact?
I don't know what the grapes. I don't know how you make wine. You stomp on it. You let the grapes rot.
Let's go.
You mash it.
Josh, aside from
but then
going
people
to the
are
farm,
like, this is a 6-day steel siphon. And I'm like, I don't know.
Josh, instead of us going to the farm, let's go work at a vineyard and do grape stomping. Like,
we should.
I Love Lucy. Do you remember that
episode?
We need
to educate
ourselves. Did you watch I Love Lucy as a kid?
Yeah, sometimes.
It's because it was like. Because
I was on when I was sick.
Oh, I was going to say because like it wasn't like on cables.
Oh, yeah. It was on network TV and I lived with my grandmother. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you ever see that when she's like stomping the grapes in Italy?
No.
Oh.
It sounds fun though from your description of it.
Let's do it.
I would really like to.
And then we can sell your foot wine and make money. Josh Scherer Foot Wine.
Go to joshscherfootwine.com. Pre-order your Josh Scherer Foot Wine. It's a pet nat, half fermented and carbonized.
I'll put a toe in there too.
Special Nicole toenail edition coming out soon. Comes with a real piece of her toenail in each bottle.
If you're lucky.
I wish I was less ignorant about wine. I wish that I could enjoy these bourgeois delights with all of my little bourgeois friends running around.
Ignorance is bliss.
You know?
So maybe we don't need to be that educated on it.
Or,
can just enjoy it.
I wish I could grow a beard. Because if I could grow a beard, then I could be one of those beer guys in San Diego.
Dude, look at my
face. Or in Denver, Colorado.
I have hair on my face right now. Touch it.
Do you really?
A little bit.
Oh, a little fuzzy. It's like a little nectarine. I grew up thinking that like the height of fun and coolness in class was going to a brewery, which I still love going to breweries and I love
I
beer as well.
I hate going to breweries.
Because it's very dude-centric? A lot of women love breweries. That's all I'm saying. But
No. I just again, I'm not the beer drinking culture. It takes so much to get you like even like feeling anything, and then you got a gut, and then you're burping all over the place, and you got to unbuckle your pants.
And that's called freedom.
Because
that's called
someone
freedom,
got
Nicole.
Nachos as well, so you're eating nachos.
Oh, someone got nachos.
French
I got nachos
fries, and like 3 pints of beer, and literally the body.
I'm eating buffalo cauliflower wings.
I cannot handle.
I'm eating a jackfruit quesadilla.
Like, oh, that'd be good.
I feel like a weird amount of breweries have vegan options. That's pretty cool. We like inclusivity. But you don't get down with... Sorry.
It's fine.
You don't get down with beer at all, though.
I don't drink... Like, I don't know. Like, if we ever go out, like, do you ever see me drinking a beer?
No.
Very rarely.
Do you see me drinking beer?
No. Very rarely.
Because when you and I hang out, it ain't beer drinking time. When me and the boys are hanging out, Nicole, me and the
boys...
The DPC boys.
I know about the...
Del Playa's Club. What's up? Love you, Sean. Love you, Dave. Love you, Emil. Love you, Marcus. Love you, Kev. Miss you guys.
Is Chad in that?
No, Chad's not part of DPC.
Oh, really?
Me, Chad, Deep, and Nick. We don't really have a name for our boys' crew, but we went to a great brewery in San Diego because that is sort of where modern brewery culture, that's where the IPA boom happened.
I'm glad you have friends.
thinking of Stone Brewery.
Stone Brewery, yeah.
I remember the first time I had Stone's Arrogant Bastard Ale, which...
Everybody remembers when they first had it. Even
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. And I also remember whenever Delirium came into like the zeitgeist.
Delirium Tremens.
Yeah.
I remember I went to the Delirium Tremens pub in Brussels and
that's
I drank
cool.
2 liters of Delirium
How many pints is that?
2 liters is 66 ounces, so about 4 pints.
Wow.
And then I got locked in a bathroom at a Brussels sandwich shop trying to order a mitraillette.
Yeah, I remember this.
And so, like, those are memories that they wouldn't have been the same if I were drinking cocktails.
Fair.
You know what I mean? When you go to Brussels, you drink the beer. If you go to the Rhone Valley, is that a thing?
Is it the Rhine Valley or the Rhone Valley?
The Rhone. Rhone's in France.
And the Rhine is a river.
Yeah, they're all, the Rhone, I think the Rhone's also, I don't know. But anyways, you drink the wine, right? If you're going to New Orleans, you get Jello shots and syringes.
Oh, did you have a daiquiri when you were there?
Okay, when you say daiquiri, you don't mean the real cocktail called a daiquiri, right? That's like rum, sugar, lime.
No, the frozen mofos.
Big frozen Slurpee. Yeah, I got a big frozen Slurpee and the bartender recognized
me. Fat Tuesdays.
This was just called like...
It's not in
daiquiris.
Vegas.
Oh, Fat Tuesday. Yeah. And the bartender recognized me and he gave me and Julia just a handful of Jello shots. And it was a cold night, so the Jello was hard. But the point is, in New Orleans is actually the birthplace of modern cocktail culture in America.
Cool.
The Sazerac, one of my favorite cocktails of all time, was invented there. We toured the Sazerac distillery. Very cool to hear the stories behind it. It was originally supposed to be a cure for, I believe, yellow fever.
Interesting, because of the absinthe?
The absinthe and the bitters were supposed to be medicinal. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, this don't cure squat, but what a tasty drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Peychaud's bitters were, I think, originally supposed to be medicinal. But, you know, I love the Pimm's Cup was first brought to the United States from Napoleon House in New Orleans. And I got to sit and drink all three of their variations of Pimm's Cups with a nice muffalata and a bowl of gumbo. And so experiencing the terroir, the culture of where you are.
Sure.
You go to Oktoberfest, you drink the beer, but
you put on the cute outfit.
You wore the lederhosen?
Well, I wore a dirndl, but the boys wore lederhosen, yes.
Hot.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
All right, Nicole. We've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call...
Opinions are like casseroles!
But before we get to the opinions, Nicole, you know what time it is.
Are you Come making on. Me a drink?
No, God, that would be nice, though.
It's 10:30.
I am on antibiotics, so I cannot do that.
You're on antibiotics right
now? I think going to New Orleans just killed my body, spirit, and soul, and I just got, like, infections.
Josh!
It's like everywhere. It's the whole body. I have an infection of the body. If this were the 1600s,
don't
they would just
ever say infection.
They would just
again.
Say, well, that's what antibiotics for. They're all for bacterial infections. If this were the 1600s, they would just say, like, your humors are bad, and they would have leached me, which I am not above. I think I should just
I would
do that.
Like to get leached.
I mean, for 5 straight days, it was just like liquor, gumbo, fried shrimp, and coffee to keep me going.
That sounds crazy.
No sleep because that city's open. There are 24/7 bars there, but you don't want to go into them. You don't want to go if a bar
says you can't get out.
Julie and I went into a 30 and over bar.
What does that mean?
They had a sign that said no one under 30, and they carded us, and they were like, "Oh, Julia just just got the deadline because she just turned 30. And then we went in and it was just people singing old R&B songs and dancing with bad knees. And it
sounds
was really
like
sweet.
My kind of party.
It was pretty fun, actually. Anywho, now, Nicole, it's time for Reviewer Review.
My favorite.
It's your favorite.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's a segment where you take one of your Apple Podcast reviews and we review it ourselves.
Oh,
review
I
us
love
on Apple
it.
Podcast.
Love
we got
it.
5 stars from Nice App saying, dang good show. Wowzers, this is a good show. Josh does an amazing job at balancing both humor and education, while Nicole brings a flair that complements the rowdiness and brings the show back down to earth. I've listened to this show since day one, and every time it's brought a smile to my face. Good Mythical Kitchen is a great watch as well.
I too love it. Good Mythical Kitchen. It's the best show on the internet.
Yeah, 1 star. It's not called Good Mythical Kitchen. It's just called
Mythical Kitchen.
You see,
and Good Mythical Morning.
Yeah. And so I got a 1 star, this really touching review that was very genuine and I think touched on both of our strengths and things that we're proud of.
Aww.
But no, 1 star, because Mythical Entertainment is the overarching property. Good Mythical Morning is its flagship show, and Mythical Kitchen is its spinoff. So for not understanding the very intricate brand language that we have decided means
something. It's a delicate balance, understanding and, you know, getting all the information in. But I will give you 2.5 stars because I'm kinder and more down to earth, as you stated in the messaging of your comment.
Well, I think if you were to apologize,
just
Nice
say sorry.
App, yeah, say
it's
sorry.
Nice App 1222.
I know you work so hard on the brand language, and I really made a mockery of that. If you said that, I would up it to 2 stars. No, I'm kidding. Nice App, that is
you're
a very sweet
so
review,
ridiculous.
And thank you so much. Everybody, go review us
thank
on
you
Apple
so
Podcasts.
Much. We love
only
you.
If you're nice. Somebody did give us a 4 out of 5 stars. And they dropped a star because we had an ad for dog poop. Something about dog poop in our food podcast.
We did?
You saw that, Maggie? Yeah, Maggie's laughing.
It was an ad for, I had to go back and listen because it's not one that you guys read.
Okay.
It was an ad for dog food that helped with their poop.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a food podcast, ad for food. What are you talking about?
Well, all food becomes poop.
Food is just
eventually,
pre-poop.
Yeah, food is pre-poop. Yeah,
we have to hold space to
get
talk for
the
poop.
Program.
Yeah, we should have just been a poop podcast.
that's
everybody poops the podcast. Let's do it. Anyways, let's hear that first opinion.
Hey, guys. So I just got married the other week.
Mazel tov.
And I learned that my new husband believes that a Rice Krispie treat is a cookie.
Divorce him.
Hey.
And
wait.
Doesn't that just tell you everything about love? I still love him. I still care for him, so even cool. though he's so dead wrong. Can you back me up on this? Thanks so much.
Okay.
This
Let's talk about it. A Rice Krispie treat in its square form, wrapped up, whatever, or homemade in a dish, that's not a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. But if you were to take the Rice Krispie treat, punch it out whole in a hole, make a circle, put frosting on it, put some sprinkles on it, I think it eats like a cookie.
It eats like a cookie, but it is not a cookie. Like, a cookie is something that has culinarily coated
not all cookies
DNA
are,
within it.
That's not all cookies are. Well, not all cookies are
what
round.
What binds every cookie? So I think it's funny.
There's different kinds of binders.
But no, I mean, like, what are the central themes running through a cookie?
Flour, sugar.
Okay, there's no flour in a Rice Krispie.
I mean, so what?
So it's not a cookie. You just said a cookie has flour.
Not all cookies have flour.
I also agree with this man that love can transcend people being absolutely wrong about things.
But Josh, but what about like those like cookies that are like made with like dates and like oats?
That
peanut
is
butter.
that's like the equivalent of a veggie burger, which is not a hamburger.
It's not a hamburger, but it's a burger.
Type of burger, sure, and it eats like a burger, but it is meant to be a farce of what it is. It's meant to be a facsimile, an imitation. But
so,
this isn't about cookies. A Rice Krispie treat is not a cookie. It's simply not.
If you alter its shape, and if you are able to kind of appropriate from cookiness, it can be.
They serve similar purposes in the sense that I want something kind of dense and sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but in the same way that like a granola bar might serve the same purpose as a cookie.
Is Millionaire Shortbread a cookie?
Well, so this is interesting. In the British canon, it is not. A Millionaire Shortbread is a biscuit, and which I think we use the term cookie very liberally. Right, in ways that make it, you know, difficult. Like in Mexico, how a sandwich is only something served on like sliced white sandwich bread, mm-hmm. or or what is it called? Pan completo?
Probably. I don't know.
Or wheat. But it's on sliced sandwich bread because everything else has its own name. It's a torta, it's a pambazo, it's a hot dog, it's whatever. You know, in Britain, they have more of that relationship with everything's a biscuit, and then you have a cookie, which would be like an American chocolate chip cookie.
Mm.
So, but that's not what's at play here. What's at play is your love and your relationship. And I have a similar thing with my lovely fiance, Julia, where, you know, every night we eat dinner and I cook some sort of vegetable. We like to eat a lot of vegetables, and I'll be like, carrots are the vegetable tonight. And she'll go, that's not a vegetable.
Carrots are a vegetable.
And I go, of course they are. She goes, no, it's like a root. It's a starch.
Carrots aren't a starch.
And I'll be like, okay, like fennel. And she'll be like, that's not a vegetable. And so I had to go.
What's fennel?
I had to go, what are the vegetables to you? Name all the vegetables you know. And we found out, she thinks there are like three. She's like broccoli, spinach, and zucchini. Those are the three vegetables to her. And I understand where she's coming from. She wants things that are,
more
to
savory.
Her, a vegetable has to be something that is exclusively healthy.
And like savory and not sweet.
Yeah. So like, you know, zucchini, broccoli, spinach, all those are dark green. They are dense in whatever nutrients comes from dark green things like kale and leafy greens. She thinks are vegetables.
Okay.
But the other stuff, which I would say, hey, these all have their own micronutrients and
sure.
they also have fiber. This is satisfying. But I don't argue it. And I end up making a ton of spinach. I end up making a ton of broccoli, and I enjoy it. And I flavor them with things that I enjoy so that we both compromise and end up with a lovely meal and a lovely relationship. And I hope that you can find it in your heart to just admit the Rice Krispies are a cookie. Just lie to yourself.
Just
relationships
lie.
Are about lying
yeah,
to yourself.
Yeah, just lie a little
yeah,
bit.
A little bit.
It don't die on this hill, right?
No,
like, there's hills you're going to die on. Don't make this the one.
Yeah, you need little
this
lies.
A relationship podcast.
You need little lies in relationships to
Josh,
like a pressure valve.
This
like
shouldn't be a this shouldn't be a food podcast. This shouldn't be a poop podcast. This should be a relation. We should give people relationship advice.
We do all the time, and we're great at it.
Like, call in with relationship problems, please.
Absolutely. Oh my God, yes. Oh, Valentine's Day episode. What are we doing for Valentine's Day?
I have a date.
Do you really?
I'm married.
No, but I know. Are you going on a date with your husband? On Valentine's Day.
My husband?
Your husband. Your husband.
My husband?
Your husband.
Well, I don't have plans yet, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You sounded like you had it all figured out, because now I'm like, I don't, you know, Julie and I, we don't.
You don't celebrate
holidays, though. We don't.
Really?
We don't really do any of them.
David and I, like, celebrate every anniversary, like, every holiday. But, like, we're not, like, gift givers, but we acknowledge it, and we do a little something special.
Yeah, I'll bring flowers. She likes yellow roses.
Hi, guys. I'm Raga, and I live in Georgia. I just want to say I love y'all's podcast.
Aww.
I listen to it all the time, and I watch Mythical all the time.
Accent.
I'm a huge fan. I'm actually in college and kind of, like, trying Boop. To learn how
just
to cook for myself.
Go dogs!
For the first time. And it's kind of a lot. So what
You're doing
did
great, sweetie.
You guys, like, first learn to cook is my question. And, like, how was that for you?
Sorry.
And what do you think, like, are there tips you can give me, like, certain things I should know? Because I'm kind of flying blind here. I'm kind of watching y'all's videos and trying to follow along sometimes. But, yeah. All right, thanks.
That's
Bye.
That's a good question. That's a good question, Nicole.
Well, the first thing I learned how to cook was a quesadilla. And I'm really good at them.
It's a good first thing to learn
it's
how to cook.
It's a good first thing to learn. And the thing is, if you don't want to use a pan, let me tell you, if you're hungry, and you don't want to like cook, like you can make it, you could make it in the microwave, you could make it in the toaster oven, you could make it in the oven, you could make it in a pan, you could make it on a griddle. You can, tortilla plus cheese and spicy, good.
Agreed.
Like it just is. But if you want to start leaning more towards like learning how to cook proteins, I would say instead of like a whole chicken breast or like a whole like cut of beef, super small pieces. Like,
yeah.
And marinate those pieces in salt, pepper, and all-purpose seasoning, whatever kind of flavors you want, just throw it in there and let it sit for like 15-20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, lean on prepackaged ingredients like that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you can buy it pre-made. Like shaved beef is great. Like pre-shaved beef, lifesaver. So these small little tiny nuggets of protein, you throw it in the pan. They don't take much time to cook, so you don't have to worry about being in the temperature danger zone. You don't have to worry about like when I used to cut like chicken breast, when I used to cook chicken breast, I'd cut it in half. It was still pink in the middle. I would I'd be sad because I'm like, I know how to cook, don't I? But no, I would still screw it up. Sometimes I still screw up my salmon. Sometimes I still screw up my chicken. The smaller the pieces are, the less chance of it being raw and undercooked is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and also like Instant Pots are great, large format. If you want to make like a big hunk of meat or like a lot of it, Instant Pot plus the pressure button. Just use it. Use it and you can have meat for like days. And that's my story.
The first thing I ever cooked was when I think my babysitter fell asleep drunk on the couch and didn't feed me.
Crepes and risotto?
No. The first thing I ever made was a grilled cheese when I was like 6 years old.
Oh.
Maybe seven. But I never used a stove before and I was so nervous and I thought I was going to burn down the house. So it was super low. So it took me 20 minutes to make a grilled cheese.
Still takes you that long.
But I learned how to cook from necessity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the mother of invention. Like when I learned how to swim, someone threw me in a pool and was like...
Is that how you learned how to swim?
Yeah.
Someone threw you in the water?
Yeah.
You didn't take like classes?
No, I think I took one class. But
okay.
It was like, ah, it's expensive. Chessmen. But it was like, yeah, if you either die or you learn to... scrap at the water and then you're there. So I learned to cook from necessity, which sounds like you didn't have. But the actual thing that taught me how to cook was simply time and repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is no substitute for that. There's no amount of recipes that you can read and memorize and, you know, produce. You simply need to do it. It's the same for anything. You want to get good at basketball, play basketball. Gonna get good at the trumpet. Maggie knows this. What do you got to do, Maggie?
Do the trumpet.
You got to do the trumpet. If you want to get good at cooking, you have to cook. You have to cook a lot. And then you learn things. So for instance, right? First time I cooked that grilled cheese, heat was too low. It took me 20 minutes. Next time I cooked a grilled cheese, turned the heat up too high. It burnt it. Then you go, okay, appropriate heat for a grilled cheese is medium. And you take that learning and you apply that. And I've now applied that over the course of 25 years since mm-hmm. that initial grilled cheese to
yeah.
have just a massive, massive Rolodex and lexicon. And that shouldn't be intimidating to you, it should be a fun opportunity.
Yeah, you
your
get
journey
to feed
starts
yourself.
Now.
How cool is that?
And at the end of the day, you have to shove the fruits of your labor into your mouth.
Yeah.
You can't do that with a painting. You'll die.
No, you will die.
Did you ever try and eat a painting?
Yeah, like
all the
in
lead
Red Dragon?
All the lead paint I use.
You've seen Red Dragon?
Not in like a long... I think
I've seen it like seven times.
Oh, you would. Yo, talk about psychopathic tendencies.
I
look
love,
at you go. Of course
I
you love,
love
Red Dragon.
It. I loved it.
Yeah. Start with one dish. Start with a chicken and rice dish. Make Filipino chicken adobo. There's like six ingredients.
Rice is sometimes hard to make.
Buy
a rice
buy
cooker.
Buy minute rice. Buy minute rice.
Buy a rice.
Microwave it. It's good. Then learn how to make rice.
Sure. Last one.
Hi, my name is Mr. Max, a longtime stalker, first time talker. And I
hope you enjoy the view from the window.
A magical sauce that needs to be experienced by more people. You mix like a buffalo sauce
okay.
with like a creamy horseradish sauce.
Ooh, sir.
It's freaking amazing. He is the best. Stay in school. Don't do drugs. Don't do all of the drugs.
I was going to say, I regret to inform you of at least one of those things.
We didn't
I dropped
stay
out of
in
school.
School.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Mr. Max, you sound like you have a very trustworthy voice, and I trust you and your choices with culinary mix-ins.
I gotta pay.
Josh.
What would you put horseradish buffalo sauce on?
Wings.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Especially like a smoked wing. Get that kiss of smoke on there. The horseradish cuts through that like it would like a prime rib when you got all that fire on it.
That was a keys.
That sounds good. I recently, okay, so I was trying to make bitty bitty chicken at home. Because I love me some piri-piri chicken.
Just say peri-peri chicken.
Peri-peri chicken.
Like, why? Like, what do you gain?
That's how they say it in South Africa.
I have to know. What do you
gain? In South Africa, they say peri-peri
chicken. I know. But you were born in Virginia?
You'd never been to Hoedspruit?
Where were you born?
Hoedspruit.
Where were you born?
In South Africa. No, I was born in Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, Maryland. I'm sorry. I mix them up all the time. What? Why do you say peri-peri chicken?
Peri-peri chicken. Because it's South African. That Jada De Laurentiis is significant.
But like, what
I'm
do you
just
gain
playing
from it?
Around. Oh, Nicole, fine. You say tortilla then. Like, what do you want from me?
No, tortilla is fine, but I don't say tortilla.
Why is tortilla fine, but tortilla is not?
I don't like to say it. I don't need to put an infliction on it all the time.
But you're already honoring the Spanish double L.
Okay, yeah, you know? But like to an extent. I don't need to like prove to everyone I know the proper pronunciation.
But I don't know what's
tortilla.
Proving and what's not. Like if you go to an Argentinian restaurant and you see P-A-R-R-I-L-L-A-D-A.
Parlorino?
I guess, okay, Argentina. Do you know what like an Argentinian mixed grill is called?
No, I don't.
P-A-R-R-I-L-L-A-D-A.
Parida.
I-L-L-A-D-A.
Josh, this is not a
Megan, can you spell this out? Can you type this out?
This is important. This is not a spelling
bee. No, because everyone talks about... the end of my chicken story is that I bought a thing of Buffalo Wild Wings garlic buffalo sauce, and it was good. That's it. But now this is more important. P-A-R-R-I-L-L-A-D-A.
Okay. How do I say
How would you say that?
Parilada. Pariada.
No, say, decide on a pronunciation. Because you did it three different times. Decide on what you go and you order this.
I've never heard that word said before, so
from Carlitos Gardel Argentinian
Carlitos.
Steakhouse.
I love Carlitos.
You're getting, because this is the best thing on the menu, you're ordering that plus mixta, that's their big plate. How do you pronounce that?
I would just point to the menu and say, this?
No, you wouldn't. You would not cop out. Completely.
I
you do the thing at a Vietnamese restaurant where you just go from number 57.
Yeah, I do that.
No way, man.
Of course I do that. Do you think I'm going to embarrass myself? Do you think I'm going to embarrass myself and butcher something number 57?
This is a very common Spanish word.
I've never heard it before.
It has the same construction as the word tortilla.
Parida.
Except in Argentinian, it'd be parijada.
Would I say parijada?
I don't know, but I go there and I don't know. If somebody is Argentinian...
Let me tell you what I
would do. Because I get accused of... Jada de Laurentising is good.
The beast.
Jada de Laurentising is. We should be trying to pronounce things.
De Laurentising.
De Laurentising is good.
De Laurentis. Okay.
I don't know if the whole
family's
done.
I'm not here to make you mad. I'm just saying you don't need to do it. You don't need to constantly tell people I know how to pronounce thing.
It's like how.
So why are you doing it?
I understand that certain words are naturalized. Like I don't. You know, I'm not gonna say spaghetti. You know, certain words are naturalized.
So you'll
you'll
say spaghetti. But you won't say. But you won't say peri peri chicken. You'll say.
Okay, no, the peri peri. That's a joke. That's what it is. I would say peri peri chicken.
Oh, yeah. Looks like somebody's taken back what they said.
No, because peri peri. Listen, that
somebody's taken back. What
and it's not a South African. It's like Mozambique, and then it has Portuguese
influence.
But the point is like this. I would go to an Argentinian restaurant, and I would say parrillada, and I would go to a Brazilian churrascaria and not say churrasco. I'd say churrasco.
Okay, I'd say churrascaria.
Why? It's just, it's wrong.
It's lazy.
And it hasn't even
been. It's wrong. It's lazy. It's incorrect. But you know what it is? It's American.
It's American, god dang it. I'm eating barbecue. I would say the original Taino Arawak word, barbacoa.
I know barbacoa. This was great. Did you get out a lot of emotions by doing this?
How much am I supposed to say the words more good or bad? I don't know. There's no rules.
There's no rules. I think you should just keep doing you. I'm sorry for pointing out something. That
every time
maybe
I say mian instead of mien for Chinese noodles, people get mad.
I noticed the way you said Michelin in the Gordon Ramsay episode.
You know what? Yeah. So Gordon Ramsay, Last Meals, greatest episode I've ever done. Go watch it.
I liked it.
I said Michelin. Do you know why I said it?
Because that's how he says it.
That's how he says it.
And you wanted to respect him because it was an interview.
Correct. And Michelin, French company.
But then, like, in the middle, you said Michelin.
Yeah. No one's perfect. Sometimes Jada probably just says sketty. We got to wrap this damn podcast
up. Fine. Let's go.
Abbreviated outro. Thanks. See ya. You know where we're at.
Call
if you've
us.
Made it this far,
call
you
us.
Figured out when we publish the podcast.
833-DOG-POD-1, call us.
Yeah, give us your relationship problems so we can solve
them. We're going to solve all of them.
Parrillada.
No, it's parrillada in the parrillada. Argentinian. Maggie, look up a video. Oh, say parrillada
no.
Argentinian.
No, it's because it's not Spanish. It's not Argentinian Spanish.
Yeah.
It's not Argentinian.
Yeah, there's different types of Spanish.
Yeah, there
it's
are.
Big.
There
it's big. It's so big.
You hear people from Quebec speak French? It's like barking dogs.